GTR listeners, the official Gamertag Radio store is now open on TeePublic. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. Represent us. You could buy t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, posters, stickers, and much, much more. We are planning to add more designs coming very soon to the store, but as of right now, we have a couple of designs available now, like I Love Gaming and the GTR Gamertag Radio logo and so on. It's pretty cool. So go right now to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 760. This is your host, Danny. And this week, we don't have no Pedo Paris, but we have a special guest. Let's talk with Mandy, a.k.a. I call her Milanos, but welcome back, Mandy.
What's up? Random guest appearance in my villainous form. Just to troll Paris.
You know what? One of these days, I would love for you to come here when Paris is around. I would love to see you and Paris go at it, you know, with the debates, because you guys are always debating.
Because we squabble.
What was the last debate that was pretty good? I still have that video years ago.
Oh, man.
I think, was it about next-gen consoles?
Yeah, he was
like
all like, oh, hardware limits creativity, and we argued about it. And what was it? Like a couple of years later, I went and found the episode a while ago where I was like, you admitted it in an episode that I was right. It's on record.
Oh, man. No, Mandy, but how's everything with you? Because a lot of people have been asking. And actually, we had a caller requesting like, hey, when are we going to have Mandy back? So for those that don't know, what's going on with you?
Things are good. So it's funny because we have a lot of people in the community that are new. And when I say new, I mean that they've showed up in the past 3 to 4 years since I left being regularly on the show. So as context for those of you that have no clue who I am besides that random mod in the Discord community, I was on the show for, what was it, 5-6 years until 2014.
Yeah.
When I got my first games job. And it was kind of like a conflict of interest. So I've gone to a couple different game companies, and now I work still in games, but a step removed. So I have a little more freedom to occasionally show up and be a guest host and just like troll everyone, essentially. Because I show up to argue is really what I show up to do. But it's been interesting. It's been a fun journey. It's one of those where it's like, always feel free to like poke me if you want to talk about like getting into games or, you know, what the journey looks like. Because I feel like I have so many like strange but funny stories of what like the past 4 years have been. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I appear. I'm actually around. I just haven't been on the show a lot, but I have a little more freedom to do that now. So I might just appear at random and be like, so when you guys are down a host, you should call me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, now, before we go to the conversations and everything, the different topics and everything, are you planning to attend this year's E3 or no?
Not this year. I'll be at San Diego Comic-Con, but not E3.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there you have it, folks.
I get to go to like the other nerd convention is essentially what that is.
Yes. Yep. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Make sure to share our content. Also, you can find us on Audioboom. Or if you have different apps, you can find us Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Make sure to review us, subscribe, and also, spread the word. It will help us out to climb the charts, and other people will also discover us based on your reviews and everything. So make sure to support. Also, go right now to the store. Brand new GTR store. We plan to add more designs. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. And we have posters, stickers, hoodies, t-shirts, all kinds of stuff.
I forgot to ask, is there a Paris tank top?
I'm working on it.
Like, you get a tank top with Paris's face on it, and I will buy it.
Oh, there you go.
Just so I can laugh hysterically when I wear it.
Other people have also other, you know, requests of t-shirts or designs. Let us know. We definitely will. I'll talk to the crew and we'll work something out. But yeah, the tank top one, I like that one. We definitely got
to
do
that. Yeah. Well, and I'm sure. Expecting somebody in the community to make a giant like neon sign version that says, "Let me dream."
Let me dream. Enhance.
Enhance. Yeah, sure. It needs to be like a neon green sign, you know, like the flashing ones you see at old diners. And let me dream, like hashtag mm-hmm. let me dream, and then it can be enhanced underneath.
Yep. Definitely agree with that.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Mandy, so let's talk about this because, you know, we're both Nintendo Switch owners, right? And, you know, we've been playing it a lot the past few months, right? And I also been playing it online, everything. But finally, Nintendo already shared new details about its Nintendo Switch online service that is coming this September. So, Mandy, so there's different prices here. I know there's one that, you know, for those that want to keep it cheap, for 1 month, you could go $3.99, 3 months, $7.99, 12 months, $19.99. And also, there's a family membership, which is also 12 months. With the family membership, you could have up to 8 Nintendo account holders that will be able to use the Nintendo Switch online service, even on different systems. And all this will only cost $34.99, which is not bad. A lot of people in the community have been saying, let's all get together, up to 8 people, and we all chip in.
Look, we can all family, be friends, and we all put in $5, and
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how they define, like, family accounts. Like, are they going to try and make it so that people can't do that, or are they going to say, oh, it's fine?
There's always a way. People are going to figure it out. I know that for sure. I've seen people literally talking on Twitter, friends, to see if they could do that together and everything, and I think it's cool if they manage to put that off, you know. But also, for subscribers, they will also have access to NES games. So these compilation of classic NES games will include, I believe, 20 in total. In the regular basis, they're going to be adding a lot more. And launch, right now, they're going to have Balloon Fight, Dr. Mario, Super Mario Brothers 3, also Donkey Kong, Ice Climber, Legend of Zelda, the original Mario Brothers, Soccer, Super Mario Brothers, and Tennis. And they're also going to announce 10 more later in the future. Now, these games you could also play online, and I know some of them are only single player games, but the good thing about this thing is that, let's say I'm playing Legend of Zelda, Mandy wants to play with me, so she could also control my game online while we're playing like single player. We could switch controllers and stuff, which is cool.
I'm interested. We'll talk about that more in a second. Keep going.
Yeah. So also, you could also save data through the cloud, which is dope because a lot of people have been having issues like when their Nintendo Switch gets messed up, they'll lose all their data. But now you could back it up. So they have a save data cloud backup if you're part of this subscription too. Of course, online play, if you want to play online, like games like Mario Kart 8, ARMS, Mario Tennis, and so on, Splatoon 2, which is a big one too. If you want to play that, Once this service launches, that's it. There's no more free online play. You have to be a subscriber in order to get that. Similar to PlayStation 4 with the PSN and also Xbox or Xbox Live and stuff. So now the thing that I really don't care much about, which they also talked about, is the Nintendo Switch Online app, which also, and I quote, enhance the online experience for compatible games. And you could also use it for voice chat and other features. I really not planning to use that. I'm just going to use strictly Discord if I want to play with the community or with my friends. I think Discord is the easiest way. And I think I even have a better online voice quality when you play with people and stuff. So online. So Mandy, let's talk about this. Let's talk about your thoughts about the subscription, the price, everything. Let's have the conversation. I know you have a lot of things to say about this.
Oh, man. I have so many things to say about this. Well, first off, the pricing is about in line with what we heard. I think the... I don't remember if Nintendo announced it or if it was just a rumor that the 1 year would be $20, which I think is fine considering that a lot of people pay $50, $60 for a year on PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold. So pricing standpoint, it's cool. I think it's interesting that they're doing this NES, the games, because I look at it and go like, are they... basically doing the equivalent of like the PS Plus games or the games with gold where they're like, but instead of being like, oh, here's half recent, half older, they're like, we'll just make our back catalog that we know all of you love, because look at how all of our, you know, replica games that we put out sell. So that was neat.
Mm-hmm.
Cloud save, I'm glad they're finally doing that. Hopefully it's, you know, a robust system, because like you said, a lot of us have a lot of data from playing a lot of games, especially some of the large games. Like, I don't know how big save files are, but, or I haven't looked on my Switch, but like when you think about the size of some of the games, like if you've practically completed Legend of Zelda, it's probably not a small save file.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with you on the online app thing. The only thing that annoys me about this is like, I'm like you, I'm like, I'd rather use Discord, but then what if I want the game sound? Do I just like turn my TV up really high so I can hear it over my headset?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I played through the, well, okay, quick question. Do you play using the sound from the device or you play from the TV most of the time?
It's actually pretty half and half. Like, usually okay. When I'm at home, I'm playing on the TV, especially if it's like multiplayer with other people, like when we did Mario Kart. Occasionally I'm like, oh, I'll have my Switch at my desk because I'm playing PUBG and I know I'm gonna die, so while I'm dead I can play on my mm-hmm. Switch. But it's just one of those where like I look at it and think like, okay, well, when I have it in TV mode, I want the game sound, especially if I'm playing with other people, but I want to be able to talk to them. So I'm like, is there a way for me to do like a split receiver for my wireless headset and like plug one into the back of the Switch dock and then plug one into my computer and both of them route in so I get game audio and Discord?
Yeah, I think you can, but it's a lot of cables and it's annoying. That's the thing I don't like about this whole online Switch online app. I'm not a fan of it. I think it's a horrible idea. Like you said, I would like to hear the sound and also talk to my friends online, like similar to when I play games on PlayStation or Xbox online. I'll get both, you know, it's easy access, super easy to hook it up and everything. But for this one, it's, you know, I'm telling you, it's confusing, a lot of cables, unless there's a company that makes it easier where you could connect both devices into one. And
yeah, that's really what I'm hoping for, is somebody, whether it's Nintendo or somebody else, to deliver a solution that says, yes, you can get game audio, so plugging into the console, but we're going to make an easier way for you to also do voice chat or something.
Yeah, I know there's only one company right now that they've released it. They released a headset when the Splatoon 2 came out. But I know a few months ago, I seen now more third-party companies announcing that they're also going to be showing new headsets at E3 and stuff. So let's see once E3 gets closer, once we're there, I probably will check it out. And I'm very curious to see how that's going to work, you know, because I don't want the the regular headset. And then it's, for me, there's no voice chat. No, they have to have everything easy for me and other people, man. You know, so now the thing is too, Mandy, the whole subscription thing where you will get the free games, as of right now, they only said NES, but I could see Nintendo adding also Super Nintendo, maybe Nintendo 64 games and so on in the future. Right now, they're just going to start small, but they have the catalog for them to do that, you know? So, you know, I think it's a great idea. Plus adding online where we didn't have that before. This is going to be the first time that you could play online.
This is true. So I have two thoughts that I think they're going to probably balance out. Like there's a lot I'll expect. Let me rephrase that. Not I'll expect. There's a lot that could come in with these like Nintendo Switch online games. And I think mm-hmm. it'll be a balance between Nintendo weighing, is it just easier to put it as part of the system and get goodwill? Or is this something that it's worth us trying to put on the eShop or do like a remastered version of or something? Because there will be some titles that are like, we'll get way more money if we actually sell it. I will say is the description of being able to play some of those titles as multiplayer or being able to do this like single player where somebody else can spectate you and you can trade off, those all sound really cool. I'm a little iffy on how well Nintendo will actually execute them. Mostly because I'm like, that sounds so great. Oh, but Nintendo, when it comes to online, you tend to like have struggles. And now I'm like second guessing it. So I want it to go really well. Like I want it to be exactly what we imagine. We're like, we're both in Legend of Zelda and I'm spectating you playing and I figured out a puzzle that you're stuck on. Like, hey, switch over and we can just trade and suddenly I'm playing and I can solve the puzzle for you. And, you know, the way I remember playing, you know, RPGs back in the day pre-online, where that's what it was. A group of friends would sit in front of the TV and you'd trade off who had the controller. So if they can replicate that in online, that's amazing. But I have like a small sense of disbelief where I'm like, are they actually going to be able to execute it the way we think they are and think they should? So I'm excited that they announced that as a feature. I'm holding my shock and awe until I actually see it in reality.
I mean, what else they could do? Like, it seems super easy for those type of games. I can understand Mario Kart, like the new games from now for the Switch, but old games, it seems easy for them to do that. I don't see how they could mess it up. Like how you were saying.
I think it's just one of those things where we all like sit there and go like, oh, that seems so easy. And the actual technicalities of it might not be that easy. And honestly, it's just Nintendo's been so hit and miss sometimes with what they try to do with online that I want to hope for the best, but not be surprised if the worst happens.
Well, honestly, like I see this as more good than bad. So I think this is awesome. I mean, the only thing that I really don't like about this whole announcement is just the Nintendo Switch online app. That's to me is,
oh no,
is the most stupidest thing. Besides that, everything else seems good. Seems more positive than negative.
Oh yeah. And I'm with you where I'm like, as a whole, this all seems great. It's just putting text and writing on a website and actually turning it into reality that people are playing and using that's intuitive, that works the way you want it to, are two different things. And so I want to be like, oh, this all sounds really good. Let's hope they deliver on the promise they've just made us.
Now, is there anything else you want to talk about about this topic? Because I have another one that I think is
the only one that I will throw in is I remember somebody, I don't remember if I saw it on Twitter or something, that somebody was like upset about the cloud save data or the saving to cloud data being behind a paywall. And I was like, well, isn't it behind a paywall on PlayStation? Like you have to have PS Plus to be able to save your games or have your game saved up to the cloud and stuff. So they've basically just looked at what Xbox and Nintendo are doing and saying like, what puts us on par theoretically? We'll see if it actually ends up being one-to-one once we get the features. But from a on text standpoint, they're doing a lot that is not the half-done measures we typically see from Nintendo attempts at online. And they're doing it at a way cheaper price. Like $20 a year, most of us probably spend that on like some place we go to. We're like, this is going to be a great dinner. And then it's mediocre food. And we're like, well, that wasn't that great. But, you know, it was only like $20. Like, I'm fairly confident most people, adults, will be comfortable. It'll be interesting to see how families, especially ones that have multiple Switches for their kids. Like I know one or two people who's like, oh, my kids fight over it, so I bought a second one so that they don't. If the family plan gets used, if they just cut them out of having online, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out for like the families versus the hardcore gamers.
Yeah, I'm wondering also how much space you get each account.
That's true.
For the cloud. You know, I think that's another thing that we should also talk about because that's important. You know, is it unlimited cloud? Because in here in the press release, even on the official website, there's no mention about how much space each account gets at all. Zero. So I'm a little bit worried about that part.
You get 5 megs and all of your game saves are 10 know, plus. Right?
5 megs. 5 megs. You want to upgrade? You want to get more? You have to pay more. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that's the whole details about the Nintendo Online service is coming out later this year and stuff. So yeah, it's coming out September of 2018. So stay tuned for that. But because of this announcement, people, you know, the press has been asking questions to Nintendo, asking like, what's up with the virtual console? Because right now, the past few months, even last year, you know, there's been companies that have been releasing older games to the eShop. I know Neo Geo been doing that like crazy. Now Sega announced a couple of weeks back that they're also planning to release games not only for the original Sega and Sega Genesis, but they're also adding in the future Sega Saturn and also Dreamcast games available to the eShop for the Nintendo Switch in the future. Now, people are wondering, okay, we see all these old games from other companies, but what about Nintendo? They have a big, huge catalog, and there has been no mention about it until they mention about the service. You also will get all these games for free. Mandy, so Virtual Console is not coming to the Switch. The branding is not coming to the Switch. You know, for those that don't know, if you had the Nintendo Wii U, also the 3DS and so on, and even the original Wii, they had the Virtual Console, which you could buy these games and play on your console. Now, Mandy, there is no Virtual Console. Your thoughts about that? The branding is not going to be available anymore.
I mean, was Virtual Console even like, it didn't go generation to generation. So if you bought something on the Wii, you weren't able to access it on the Wii U, were you?
No, you have to repurchase.
Yeah, so I'm kind of okay with this because, like, full disclosure, I'm not sure I ever bought anything from Virtual Console. So
I did a lot.
My opinion is also based on this. But I look at it and I guess, like, I don't think it's that big a deal because I feel like the way the market continues to change and how we perceive getting access to older games, whether it's a release of a remaster, like full version, or whether it's, you know, in some cases on like Xbox, it's making it backwards compatible. On PlayStation, it's just putting it up for sale in the shop. Like, here you can get this old game for $20 or something. So I don't think it's that big of a deal that they're not planning to bring Virtual Console, because I think they're going to do something. Is it going to be branded under a name? Maybe not. I mean, we're kind of already seeing a little bit of it with them announcing these NES games for Nintendo Switch Online. And so I'm expecting that we're going to see sort of three categories the same way that we do on the other platforms. The games they give you for free via being an online subscriber, or let me phrase that, a subscriber to their online service. We're going to have the games that they'll just put up for sale on the eShop digitally. So, hey, you want, you know, an old Smash Brothers, original Smash Brothers, we'll say, buy it for $15 via the eShop. And then they'll pick a selection of games, I think, to do like a remastered full release. You can get physical, you can get digital. And I'm not sure that they need the branding that comes with Virtual Console the way that they did it before, because they're seeing their competitors make do without necessarily calling that. I mean, I guess they have each their own thing, but you don't need it because there's a degree of expectation to having older games made available to you in some way, shape, or form. So, like, yeah, you know, something we had for three generations is going away. Woohoo. That doesn't mean that suddenly you're not going to get any of the old games.
Well, remember, too, that the last generation, you know, Xbox 360, we had Xbox Live Arcade. And this started with the OG Xbox. You know, they made some changes for the 360. But once the Xbox One came out, they removed the branding and they just called it Xbox One games, which to me is better, because when people think of indie, they'll think probably it's like a downgrade or something. You know, like the person for me, I see that as a regular game. And there have been successful games from the 360 days, also successful games that's been available now for the Xbox One. So I think it's fine that they removed the branding of Xbox Live Arcade. Same thing with what's going on with Virtual Console. I think that's great. You know, instead of, you know, depending on just the name Virtual Console, just call it a regular game, man. Whatever.
Yeah, like, part of the subscription. Here's a Virtual Console game. Like, no, yeah, it can just be the game that it is. Like, yeah. And I guess that's the thing is, like, a lot of people, you weren't bringing it with you from generation to generation anyways. So why does it bother you that suddenly the Switch is not going to have it? It's not like you're suddenly unable, like you're not going to be able to access all those games you bought previously because you couldn't do that before.
Yeah, and you have to buy the freaking game all the time. Every generation you have to buy it, rebuy it. Now, do you play Virtual Console on the 3DS at all? Or have you downloaded
it? I mean, like, no? I might have lied earlier. I said I didn't, but I might have previously bought one or two games through it on my 3DS.
I wonder which ones.
I wonder which games I might have bought on a DS system that was Virtual Console.
Was it Pokemon?
I'm pretty sure it was Pokemon. I don't know where my 3DS is right now. It's like lost in a pile of things. But in all honesty, like, I'm almost glad for them to make that sort of announcement because, like, if they're not tying things to Virtual Console, like, what might we get now on the Switch? Like, I'm, like, secretly hoping that they're just going to recode or, like, make all of the old Pokemon games available on the Switch. Like, just give me a black bars on the side and, like, let me play, like, you know, Pokemon Red.
So let me ask you, if they release a new, not new, but like an old school Pokemon game for the Nintendo Switch, one of your favorite Pokemon, you will buy it.
Yes, without a doubt. Actually, it doesn't even have to be my favorite. I will probably buy it just for the idea of being able to take a Pokemon game with me. Because honestly, like, I take my Switch to work with me. Like, it goes to work with me every day.
Now, do you take the bus, train, or you drive to work?
So I drive to work. So it's more for, like, if I'm taking a mini break or something like that. Or occasionally, like, we'll be talking about something. I'll be like, oh, I saw something on the Switch and, you know, pop it out. But I mean, I take it when I travel. Every time I travel, whether I'm flying, I've taken the train up to Boston a couple times. And it's as long as I'm not doing, like, a super busy day when it's practical. I'm going to go walk around Boston and buy things all day. My Switch is not going with me. But, like, it's, I hate to say it's my constant companion because it's not. But, so I guess for me, like, this announcement is pretty exciting because they haven't really talked much about how they're bringing their back catalog of old titles into the Switch generation. And so seeing them, you know, hey, here's a selection of NES games, like, as you mentioned earlier, brings me hope that we'll see SNES games and we'll see Nintendo 64 games and maybe we'll see some GameCube games. And yeah. I'm just waiting. I just need them to bring one of my, like, loved, you know, handheld games, whether it was, you know, one of the Pokemon games or if they brought, like, Golden Sun from the Game Boy Advance days, or, like, one of those. Bring at least one onto the Switch, and my hopes and dreams will be realized that maybe I'll get the rest.
Yeah, you know what? I would love for them to release to the service Mario Kart 64. That was a pretty good game.
Oh, man, that was such a good one.
If they could add Nintendo 64 games, not all, but, you know, some pretty good ones, some classics, to the service. Oh, yeah, that's another one that's good, too. Perfect Dark. Well, they can't release Perfect Dark, but they could release, maybe Star some Golden Now, Star Fox 64, all that. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I mean, like, I want them to make new games, too.
Of course, yeah. I mean, they're going to have games. They're going to have the new games, but I love the Super Nintendo Classic. I have also the Nintendo Classic. You know, I'm good with that. Actually, I was playing that a couple of days ago. I was playing Final Fantasy 3 and all the RPG games and stuff. Now the thing is, we are going to see more of the first party games for the service. Now, third party, they have a choice to just release it and sell it separately. Just put it in the eShop and just sell it. I don't see them adding it to the service at all.
And that's kind of what I'm hoping for. They might, it depends on how they wrote their contracts, like what they retained rights to for distribution and stuff like that. But it's one of those where you look at it and you go like, dude, like there's a variety of games that even if they put it onto the eShop and it was like 10, 15, 20 bucks, I'd probably buy. Like Nintendo's gotten so much of my money in the past year and a half. It's ridiculous. And it's so like, you know, I look at that and I go like, okay, you know, yeah, virtual console's gone. But the end of it, like I see this open door and I think Sony and Microsoft have really done a good job in the past 1 to 2 generations to sort of deliver on this idea of like, let us bring back the nostalgia and the memories and deliver these games you really enjoyed to you again. And Nintendo's has done that generation to generation with the virtual console and occasionally with like remasters and re-releases or like what HD versions. It was Wind Waker HD on the Wii U, right?
Yep.
But like, I guess them saying, hey, that's not coming, but here's what our online surface is starting to shape into makes me think like, okay, guys, like of everyone here, you have a really large back catalog and there's a lot of games that have been really limited to a variety of systems. And the Switch is probably, outside of the 3DS for the first like 2 years that I have it, the Switch is the system where I'm like, give me all the things and I will buy them.
Now, before we go to the next topic, my question to you, Mandy, do you see yourself subscribing to this service later this year?
Yes. Was there any doubt that I would subscribe to this service? Because if you thought beginning of this conversation I wasn't going to, I've obviously not done a good job of communicating my interest.
No, but the reason why I'm asking you, because yeah, you might say a lot of positive things, but some people will say, this is more a wait and see situation. Like I'll just wait to see how is the launch, if it's worth it. I'll wait for more announcements, you know. Maybe you don't play online. Maybe you're the type of person that only will play single player games.
No, I mean, like, you're right. Sometimes I'm the person who goes wait and see. But honestly, $20 is like a regular week where I forgot my lunch a couple of times and I had to buy lunch. And at that point, I'm like, $20 is nothing. I'll just $20 for a year. And then maybe in that 12 months, I say, hey, I'm actually not using online or these other features enough to make it worth me having, and I'll save my $20 and go buy myself a nice lunch. I don't even know if $20 counts as a nice lunch. It's not fast food. But yeah, this is one where I'm like, for me at least personally, the cost of $20 is like so easy to be like, I'll just give you $20 that I'll just try it from the beginning and be one of those people to give my opinion with how it actually works.
Yeah.
One of
I'm excited for Nintendo's E3 presentation, Nintendo Direct, whatever you want to call it.
Oh yeah, I can't wait.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
Please give me my hopes and dreams and announce the things I want coming this year. Please. Ooh. Nintendo, I'm asking you.
I can see Pokemon coming out this year.
I'm telling you. Well, I mean, I'd love for it to be like, hey, we're filling the gap by giving you some of the old Pokemon games. But even better, like my holy grail of announcements would for them to say that the Pokemon RPG they're working on for Switch is gonna launch this holiday. I'd be like, take my money and throw my entire wallet at the screen and like pre-order the collector's edition and just be done with it.
Well, Mandy, I know when you used to be part of the crew, part of GTR, we had a special interview years ago with CD Projekt Red, and we had him on the show to talk about Cyberpunk 2077. Do you remember that?
It was so long.
So long ago. Long ago. I probably will play it on the podcast, not in the future and stuff, but it was a very old interview. And, you know, at that time, there really wasn't saying much about it. It was like, Jill was just giving us hints here and there. And we had a great conversation about the game and stuff. So, but there's a rumor that at this year's E3 2018, their CD Projekt Red is going to host an hour-long presentation about Cyberpunk 2077. Your thoughts if this is true?
I'm going to give you my gut reaction, then I'll tell you my real reaction. No, I don't believe it is my gut reaction because we've been talking about this game for what? five, six, 7 years. Like, they announced it forever ago. And so, like, my immediate response is like, no, this is going to be like the last Guardian. It's going to float in the wind for years. Or what was the other one? StarCraft 2 took 12 years to come out. That's what I think this game is. That said, if they're, you know, I don't know since I'm not going to E3, but if they're actually booking an hour, they have to have something to show if they're going to be doing an hour. So I wouldn't be surprised. It feels like it's been such a long time. I would not be that surprised considering that they've had Witcher 3 out now for what, a couple of years, and they've done some DLC, that they're ready to show their next project and like really show it. So my gut reaction is no, because I just want to say no, it's been so long. And my actual reaction is like, oh, okay, like I could see it now.
Well, I could tell you my reaction. I think it's true. I think it is going to be an hour long. And they're going to show Cyberpunk at this year's E3. And actually, we're probably going to see the first trailer of this game at their Microsoft press conference. That's what I think, because you know the last Witcher game at E3, it was at the Microsoft press conference. They actually showed the game for the first time there. And when we go inside the convention. Oh,
yeah. And then we went and it was like an hour long behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Presentation. Yeah, that's exactly. Because we had it later in the day. I was with you for that one. I think the two of us went to that appointment. So, yeah.
Yep.
And that's why, like, you know, my gut reaction now for these games that we've been talking about that have, like, been in the ether for, you know, 5+ years is, no, it'll never happen. But my honest reaction is, I agree with you. Like, at this point, you know, unless they've been working on something that they haven't told anybody about, which I feel is unlikely for them to be working on something they'll announce and show before Cyberpunk, is unlikely. So yes, I think you're right. We're going to see a trailer, maybe an onstage demo, depending on how much they actually want to show, during one of the press conferences. And then I would be 100% unsurprised if they do, you know, an hour long presentation, get a little bit more up close and personal with the game.
Every year, every time I go to their booth, not booth, but like,
yeah, they have the meeting rooms, right? They tend to do those instead of the,
yeah. Yeah. Once every time we go to the meeting room, they'll give us snacks, beer, and swag, like book bag, t-shirts, everything.
I think I still have a Witcher 3 t-shirt around here.
I had the statue, but somebody stole it at my job because I had it there.
No. Yeah. I think you got I wanted the t-shirt. So I feel like I have it around here somewhere. I've seen it recently.
Yeah.
So I'm actually kind of excited because we keep like the last 1 to 2 years have had this like perpetual like back and forth of like you want the Bethesda announce and release within the same year, and then you have these other games that have been like on the docket for a long time, and I kind of want to get Cyberpunk out of the way. Like, come on, guys, it's been like 5 years. Like, just get it out there.
I just don't see that game coming out this year though. I really
I think it's gonna be if they're doing a behind closed doors demo or presentation, it's gonna be next year, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yo, you remember when we went to see The Witcher a couple of times? We saw it really early a couple of times at E3, and then they released the game. So it could be 2019. It could even be early 2020. That's even possible.
Yeah. So I'd say at minimum no earlier than next year.
Yeah.
But potentially later than that. It really depends on where they're at. I mean, The Witcher 3 is a most recent example that people are familiar with. Like, it shows their dedication to what they're building and however long that takes. And I'm glad to see that. But it's also one of those where I'm like, dude, I'm just tired of people being like, yeah, Cyberpunk, it's coming. Like, you've been saying that for 5 years, guys. Just let it go. It's like you wishing for Battletoads every E3 for 5 years in a row. They're going to announce Battletoads. They're going to do it. And we're like, nope, they're not going to do it.
One day they will. Let me dream, Mandy.
Let you dream.
All right, so that's the news about Cyberpunk 2077. Also, the last topic before we play the interview and stuff. Zombie mode. I mean, it's basically confirmed. It's going to be on Call of Duty Black Ops 4. I'm actually going next week to LA with Paris. We're going to meet up and we're going to go to the review event that Activision and Treyarch invited us to attend and stuff. So, but yeah, zombie mode is basically confirmed. And the reason how that happened was, if you follow E3, the Twitter official Twitter account, they were promoting events, that panels that's going to happen during E3 for those that are attending, you know, for the public could go and attend these events. It's called E3 Coliseum. So they're saying they're going to have a panel all about Call of Duty Zombies. The creators of that is going to be there at the E3 Coliseum. And they tweeted that at the E3 official Twitter account. And the thing is, Treyarch hasn't even announced anything about zombie mode or anything. And I don't know if it's like a mistake from
E3. Somebody messed up.
Yeah, somebody messed up, but it's all good. At least it's coming. Now, I'm curious to see how the game is going to look, because I truly, truly love zombies. Like, I love that. I play it all the time.
You play it pretty often.
Yeah, a lot of people play the...
Maybe not recently, but like a couple months ago, I remember you were streaming zombies pretty often.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I just love zombies. It's cool. You know, I do know what it is, Maddie. I miss those type of games, like Left 4 Dead, like that type of vibe. Like,
I'll admit, I miss Left 4 Dead. Like the, like, oh, we're just going to leave somebody behind because it's not worth running back for them. And like the comedy of that. I just thought it was really funny for me when everybody's like, oh, they just confirmed it. I'm like, did anybody doubt that there would be zombies? No, like, honestly, did anybody doubt that Call of Duty would not have a zombie mode? Because if you did, we should talk.
Yeah, they always have. So, Mandy, we're going to play this quick interview, and then we'll come back. We're going to talk, we're going to end the show. We're going to wrap it up in here. So we'll be right back. Let's play this interview that is with the developers of Hypebit Studios. They're from all the way from Sweden, from Stockholm. Because, you know, I'm an 80s kid, so... I read about this game that they have. They launched it on Kickstarter. It's called 1980X. It was a great conversation. I'm going to play right now the interview. And once we come back, I'm going to have a little conversation with Mandy about random stuff before we wrap it up. So let's go with the interview. We'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here at Gamertag Radio, and we have a pretty cool interview here with the developers of at Hypebit Studios. There's this game that's coming out that the reason how I found out about this was through Kickstarter. You know, I'm an 80s kid, so it's called 1980X. This is more of a classic game, right? But it has multiple different games there that you could do in it. And I know it's part of the story and everything, but I know we have a special guest here from the studio, all the way, I believe, in Sweden, right?
Yeah.
What's your name and what is it that you do?
Tobias from Hypebit Studios, making this game, 1980X.
1980X. So I know you guys are a huge fan of like the old games from like the 80s and stuff. So how you guys came up with this concept, 1980X?
Well, it was like we're presenting 1980X as over-the-top arcade action meets coming-of-age drama. And by that we refer to like a mix of classic arcade genres tied together by a larger narrative. So we follow this character kid who is a teenager discovering the local arcade and finding new worlds and new meaning in video games. So we wanted to make something of a love letter to the late 80s arcade games and at the same time tell a story.
I know there's people wondering like what type of games they have in there. So there's a beat-em-up game similar to like Streets of Rage and stuff like that.
Yeah, and Final Fight.
Well, this is not 8-bit. Final Fight. So this is not 8-bit. This is more 16-bit, right?
Yeah, it is.
Right?
It is like the early 16-bit. It's like the games from the very last years of the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, because, you know, I noticed there were some that are similar to 8-bit and then similar to... So you guys have both 16-bit?
No,
16-bit?
No, I say we have 16-bit. I say that the games are like the arcade games in the late 80s, and that was when the 16-bit had
Yeah, so they have beat 'em up, shoot 'em up. They have also like racing, ninja game, and also RPG. I'm a huge fan of RPG and stuff. So for those that don't know, I know you guys launched a Kickstarter a couple of days ago, and it's been doing really good. You know, now I think it's about to hit close to 900 to 1,000 backers now. So why was it that you guys decided to do this whole Kickstarter and all that?
Yeah, we're a new studio and we're we just started a year ago, and we had this idea and we thought that we wanted to try it on Kickstarter and see if people like our concept and if they're interested in what feedback we could get and so on. So we thought that Kickstarter was a good platform to try out our ideas.
Yeah, it seems that the game is getting a lot of buzz. A lot of especially the old school gamers are really liking this, liking the concept and everything. So tell us a little bit about the character, because I know when you go to Kickstarter and also the official website of the game, there is like a short audio of the character talking, right? So tell us a little bit about the character if you can.
Yeah. I mean, the character is it's important that there is, it's a story-driven game, and it's pretty much about playing games. It's a game about playing games and discovering them and they're being part of your life, and the character grows stronger by playing video games, and it's that sort of. We don't actually have how should I say, the character is called Kid. It's a teenager, as I said, who is like a bit stuck in life and needs some place to go and somewhere to go in life, and the arcade games give the character strength, you could say.
So I mean, as a fan of video games, why you guys decided to do a game like this?
For me, it's like I grew up playing arcade games in the 80s, that's when I first discovered video games, and those are still my like strongest and most fond memories, and especially those from the arcades, because in like 1980 Sweden, we actually had very hard restrictions to prevent kids from playing too much arcade games. It's like you weren't allowed to play arcade games too close to schools, for example, and you weren't even allowed to put any coins into the machines if you were under 16. So for me and for us in the 1980X team, there is a lot of like mystery and thrill surrounding arcade games from that era. Whenever we discovered a new game, it was like finding a hidden treasure or something. When I started thinking about making this game, we started talking about we would make a game in like retro style, and we started talking about which type of game that would fit us. And when I like traveled back in time in my head to that magical 80s and those arcade games, I soon realized that how could I choose one type of game from that era? Because, I mean, the entire point of going to the arcades was to find something completely new. And I remember like after my friend finished OutRun for the first time, we didn't go looking for like another racing game. We just wanted another experience. So then we found R-Type, and then we found Shinobi, and then we found Final Fight. And that's what my 1980s were like, the mix of genres you discovered and fell in love with. So when we started creating the concept for 1980X, my first initial thought was like, I wanted a game where you, for example, you drove the Ferrari from OutRun until you reached Metro City in Final Fight. And there you get out in the streets and beat some guys up or something. And also like on your way to Metro City, you would be able to make a stop on the highway and pick up a hitchhiking stranger or something and play a part in a larger story. So that's what, when we started building on similar concepts. So what we have is like 1980X, which is a story-driven game about losing yourself and finding yourself in arcade games.
A couple of years ago, I went to Stockholm, Sweden, because I got invited to an event over there. Yeah, and I love the city. It was actually a lot of fun. I had a great time. I was there for like 5 days and stuff. But one of the things that I really wanted to do was to check out, was there any maybe arcades or any video game stores or stuff like that around the area?
Yeah.
And I couldn't really find it because maybe due to time and I just didn't know much about the city. But, you know, I know you mentioned about back in the days that it was hard for you guys to, you know, play some of the arcades back in the days and stuff. Did you guys manage to put personal stories that happened to your team when you guys were young in the game that when somebody plays it for the first time, they will see something like that?
I mean, definitely. We are trying to like make the experience like it was when you first discovered video games, that it was this like magical place. You got to this arcade and you found those games and, it was a surreal experience that we definitely want to put into our game as well.
Yeah, so I know you guys started this, was it in spring 2017, and the game is scheduled for next year. So I know you guys are planning to add this, to have this game available for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and also PC.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the process? How's it been going? Have you heard anything from the major companies?
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's so much easier today to get in the game published on all those platforms. You have to, of course, follow their rules and their standards and stuff, but it's not that hard like it was back in the days where you couldn't just make a game and release it for them. So we're working with other companies and studios and publishers too, and talking about how we should publish this game in the best way for all the platforms.
Yeah, I hope it works out, man, because you know now it's cool to see a lot of the like TV shows and now with you guys doing this video game based on the 80s, you know, because I think that was like a very special time.
For
us when we were young back then, there was no internet, nothing like that. There was consoles and also there was arcades. So it's really cool to see that, man. You know, I know you guys have some extras. For those that don't know, if you go right now to the Kickstarter page, you know, if you want to support this game and everything, I personally would say go and support. But there's also extras. There's vinyls. I'm a huge vinyl collector. I love I have a bunch of records and stuff from back in the days and stuff, but also t-shirts and a bunch of good cool stuff available, man. So you guys could tell us a little bit about that. For those that don't know much about the Kickstarter, how's that working out for you guys and everything?
There are not many vinyl records left, actually. We limited that to 100 and I think 90 of them are gone or something. But yeah, we just wanted the general 80s feeling that we wanted to have, like pins and badges or patches and vinyl records and stuff like that we grew up with and remember from the same era that we played those games. So we just think it fits in nicely with the theme of the game.
All right, so I know there's beat 'em up, racing, RPG, all that stuff in the game. Personally for you, what is it that you love about adding those games, those type of genres in this game for you personally?
Yeah, I think one thing, I mean, it wasn't like the coolest thing to play video games in the 80s as a teenager. We had like dozens of games in mind to begin with, but the idea was always that we would choose only like the coolest game genres, the one with the most attitude and because of the story in the game. So we choose games that worked well with that idea, like a fast racing game and a tough beat 'em up and an edgy ninja game and so on. So they fit together with the story in the game.
Yeah, I'm very excited to check this out, man. Hopefully early next year, you know, especially, you know, I play a lot of Xbox and Nintendo Switch. So it's definitely I will try this on Nintendo Switch on the go and play it, you know. So it's really cool, man. Has there been any challenges for you guys? Because, you know, you guys are working on different platforms. Has it been challenging or you figure it out already for a while?
Yeah, we work in Unity, so that's easy to publish on all platforms. So we haven't had no problems with that so far.
Cool, man. Awesome. And so for more information about the game, where people could go, check it out.
Yeah. They should go to Kickstarter and check out 1980X and see what they think about our game. It's 1980xthegame.com.
All right, man. But guys, make sure to go and support right now. I believe, let me check right now. I'm in the Kickstarter page. So let's see how many days left. So there's 25 days to go. And there's over 800 people already, backers, that's supporting this game. And they definitely need your support. So make sure to go right now to Kickstarter or go to the official page and support this game. And you know, good luck with this project, man. I think it's really cool and unique. And it's something different that we have never seen before.
Yeah,
and I hope it works out for you guys, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. We're really humbled by this love and support that we have been getting, not only from our backers, but from the gaming community in general. And I've been a video game critic and journalist myself for like 25 years before doing this. So I feel even more respect for all the developers sharing their work with the world and expressing their ideas for an audience like this.
Cool. And that's a totally different job, you know, from switching from journalist to an actual developer, producer of a game. How's that been experienced, man? Because now you see the behind the scenes. Like, a lot of journalists don't know about that. They just see it from the outside. But now that you're working on this project from the inside, how's that been working for you, man?
Yeah, that's really interesting, of course, because it's like all those things that you maybe have criticized and felt that, oh, why don't it make it like this? And then you realize, okay, this is why they haven't made it like this, because it's different. But it's at the same time, I mean, I think a couple of guys in this team are journalists, and we have a lot of experience in like analyzing games and playing them through so many times. So we have, I think, a lot of the reasons why we are making this game, and I think it will be a good game because we have that in us from before.
How many people you have in your team? I forgot to ask you that question.
We're 11 people in our team right now. So we're four sitting here in Stockholm, and then we have five pixel artists from around the world, and then programmer and musician, composer.
All right, cool, man. All right, man. But thanks a lot for the interview, and good luck with everything, man. Good luck with everything, man.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, Mandy. So that was the interview. But now we have a few weeks left of, you know, E3 is coming up. Is there anything that you're hype about at E3? Like anything, you know, from, it could be from Xbox, Sony, maybe PC, Nintendo. I know we talked a lot about Nintendo, but is there anything else that you're excited about coming up for E3?
So I'll split it into two. I'm just excited to see what Sony and Nintendo like show/confirm for the second half of this year. Like, we know we're getting Spider-Man. We know we're going to get Smash Brothers. I'm excited for concrete details and for them to, you know, show us what else they're going to do, because they've had good lineups over the past 1 to 2 years. Well, Nintendo since the Switch launched, and Sony for the past 2 years. And I'm really interested to see what Microsoft is going to do from a general sense, because, you know, there's all this talk about these new titles or remasters or whatever from the other two, and Microsoft, like, most of the time when I see people chatting, like, oh, look at what Microsoft doing, it's about backwards compatibility. So I really am interested in, like, okay, are they gonna show Halo 6? Are they gonna show a new, you know, Gears of War? Are they gonna wow us with some new IPs? So I don't know if there's any like one specific thing that I'm looking for from any of them that I'm like, oh, I'm waiting for this, except for Nintendo. I really want that Pokemon game. But outside of that, dear Nintendo, in case you didn't hear me the first time. But outside of that, I'd say that I've been excited. I have, you know, a list of like five or six games am I to play, a couple ones I'm in the process of playing. And so I really want all of them to have good showings of new things that make me, let me rephrase that, not new things. It could be new things, or it could be like bringing back something that we loved, that make me want to go like, all right, let me add you to my list of things to buy. you know, let me go and pre-order, even if it's not a collector's edition, though I love pre-ordering collector's editions. You know, I want everybody to have a good show. And I think the one I'm most worried about is Microsoft. So I really want them to hit it out of the park.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Microsoft because I think that they've been quiet because I think they got something.
That's what I want. Yeah. But in all honesty, you know, this is me being 100% honest. In the past couple of years, you know, we say like, oh, they've been quiet. They don't have a lot. Like they're going to announce something big. And then, you know, they announce something and it's not big, or, you know, they don't announce anything big. And we're all like, oh, well, what are you doing? So like, I want them to have something. But I feel like the past few years, the people that have been talked about the most are what Sony and Nintendo have been doing, and Microsoft's just kind of been there doing what Microsoft does. So I really, like, I want to come out of the press conferences and the game announcements and be like, dude, I'm going to dust off my Xbox One and I'm ready to put in some pre-orders. Like, I want that because I've spent more than enough on my other consoles and my Xbox just kind of sits there.
Yeah, you know what? I was talking to Paris earlier today and I told him, like, you know what? I hope that Sony doesn't do this whole presentation where they just play video trailer the whole time. I don't want that. I want the execs to come out, have a conversation with not only the press, but the consumers. Just talk to us. Go there.
During the show?
Yeah, during the show. Like, you know, like the past, because they had great presentations in the past. Like, I think the way how they have it now for the past 2 years, like, it's cool that they play trailers, but something is missing there, man. I want the interaction where, like, I love when Reggie comes out and talk, right? Like, I just love that. It's like interacting with the fans, right? Or with Phil Spencer, he'll come out, or the developers comes out and talk about the game. But it feels like they're talking to us. For the past 2 years, I feel that with PlayStation, they just show videos. There's no interaction. Yeah, the trailers was cool and all, but something is missing. And I think by them having that interaction with the consumer, it will hype me even more. Like, I'm like, wow, they're talking to us instead of just playing an infomercial. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I don't necessarily agree.
I agree. Even Paris was like, I could see why you're saying that. Because look, we had a conversation with Michael Pachter last year, and he's like, "What is the point of us going to the press conferences? All they're doing is just playing videos. What is the point?"
That's valid. As somebody who's watching from home, I don't. Two thoughts here. One is like, it's good when people come on stage, but I don't know if I'd call it interaction. Like, they're presenting something. Depending on who it is, some of them are really good at doing that and it feels like they're engaging with the audience, and some of them are just up there to show you their thing and there's no engagement. But like, as somebody from home, I don't really care if they're talking to y'all in the audience. Like, that sounds terrible.
No,
but I don't.
I do.
Because all I care about is them showing me what I have to look forward to and them like standing up and talking. Now, if it's a dev giving you like an intro to their game or an intro to who's on stage that's going to be playing it or things like that, that's one thing, because that's they're defining a little bit of what my experience with their game is going to be like when they do it that way. You know, here's what this person's about to do in the section that we're showing you. Like, okay, you've just like laid the groundwork. I know what's happening here. But if it's just an exec standing on stage like, hey, what's up, guys? There's so many cool things happening.
No,
like, that's
Mandy,
great, but I don't
Mandy,
care. I want to see what the cool things are.
It's beyond that, Mandy. It's beyond that. It's an example like this. Like, when Phil Spencer goes on stage, right? He's always changing the shirts and everybody's analyzing, what is it that he's wearing, right? Like, I hope people from home, like us at the audience there, we can't see it because he's so far away. But people at home are taking screenshots. Oh, man, look what Phil Spencer is wearing. Oh, man, look at Reggie is wearing. Is that Metroid?
I'm focused
what
on the
that?
Wrong thing when I watch these press conferences then.
No, but see, like that's cool because it's more of like the community is talking about Easter eggs, or when that moment when we get to see the developer for Mario Rabbids, right? For the first time, we get to see the game and he cried. That was a special moment. Or years back when we went to I believe it was a EA press conference, right? And we got to see the developer of Unravel.
Oh, yeah. And he was like, he was shaking on stage. He was so
super nervous, right? But I felt his pain. Like, I felt like, man, he really cared about this game. He just was super nervous because he has never done that before. But it was like something special. And I love seeing that thing, man. It's like, those are those special moments that I love to I love talking about that, right? But if it's just playing videos, it's like, yeah, the trailer's good, I'm hype, I'll buy it. But I know that Sony could do even more, because the moment when they said $399 on stage, you were there.
I was going to say, you were there because you went.
No, I had to go to the bathroom. I was drinking too much and I had to go to the bathroom.
That was so funny. Yeah, no, and that's... you know, and I get it from that point. Like, there's these like defining moments where, like, if there's one thing I could tell you from that press conference, it was sitting there as they're like, oh, and by the way, our price is $399. So I get it from that point. Like, there's things having been there for that EA press conference with Unravel and being like, dude, like, those are so from like that memory moment of like what defines a press conference. Like, what do you remember 3 years, 4 years down the line? I get that. Yeah. As a regular consumer, and sometimes as the person who's not there now, or not sometimes, as the person who's not there now, so I'm watching it from home, or sometimes I don't even watch it. Sometimes I'm like, dude, I don't have time because of like when it lines up, I have meetings, you know, all I really want to know are like, what are the key things that I need to get out of it? Like, what are the games I need to watch out for? What are the trailers I need to see? So I do get that point. I do. That's the pessimist in me being like, well, I don't care about what you want, because I just want to know what games I'm going to buy next.
I have a question. Which one is more impactful? When Nintendo says, oh, we have one more thing, like during the Nintendo Direct, right? Well, we have one more thing and we're going to play it now. And they play the video, right? And it's Smash Brothers for Nintendo Switch. Everybody, oh my God, going crazy, right? Or they just play the video of Smash Brothers. Which one do you think is more impactful when people are watching it from home?
That's actually a really good question. I can't answer that for you.
Yes, you can, man.
No, because for me,
when they say, like, we have one more thing, one more announcement, you're like, what is it? Oh my God. Like, you know,
no, but there was already rumors that it was going to be Smash. So for me, like, yeah, but I'm not sure it would have been different. If they just landed like, okay, and bye guys, and been done, and then they went into the trailer, that would have probably had the same effect for me. Like, it's,
no, I don't think so. I think, because who
are we talking about? Are we talking about me here? Or are we talking about you?
No,
you
we're talking
me how
about,
I would feel about it.
We're talking about the people that are just watching this at home.
Okay,
if a developer or an exec or
you
somebody
asked how
that,
I would feel. Okay, yeah, for most people, especially anybody like for a regular person. So let's say like, you know, regular guy or girl who doesn't follow games the way we do. So they weren't on Twitter. They didn't see all the rumors about Smash Brothers being the thing. So they're just like, oh, there's some new Nintendo thing and my friend told me about it. I'll watch it. Yeah. Being like, oh, okay, it's done. And them having saying like one more thing probably is impactful. I mean, like, there's entire ways that you can, I can think of like three different ways you can try and create that same situation when you're thinking about like what's the best way for us to set up a suspenseful announcement. But like, yeah, for a regular person, if you're asking how I personally, I'm like, I mean, like, I was kind of expecting it at that point.
No, but you know why I say that, Mandy? Because it reminds me a lot of like Steve Jobs, that he's doing the presentation, right? You know, during like an Apple press conference or something like that. And then he says, oh, we have one more thing. And the crowd, you hear the crowd reaction from the event. And you're home, you're like, oh, man, this is so cool. Or like, still to this day, I get so many views on YouTube of one of my old videos when they showed Halo 3 for the first time, the first trailer. That it was Bill Gates that said, oh, yeah, we have one more thing to show. People are still posting comments under that video saying, man, that was like the greatest, one of the greatest crowd reactions that I've ever seen. You know, because I recorded from there at the event. I was like, yo, this is a cool trailer of Halo. So I just started recording and you hear the crowd clapping, screaming, going crazy. And it's the same thing with, I think what it was, Nintendo years back when they showed Smash Brothers for the GameCube.
Oh,
where
Melee?
The crowd went. Look it up on YouTube. Look it up.
Well,
and
yeah,
you
I
hear
mean,
the crowd reaction.
The thing is that I think a lot of times, one, it's a little bit different when you're there, because your like expectations when you're physically there versus when you're watching on screen are a second. And the other thing too, I was going to lead with this. You went a little bit further. Was I never watched the Steve Jobs stuff because I wasn't an Apple fan.
Oh,
so for me, that was never that powerful. Like when people would reference it, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. I don't really care about like Mac and Apple.
But you have an iPhone? You have an iPhone or
nope.
Android? Okay. All right. Hey, don't attack me. I'm just asking a question.
No. I'm like, but yeah. So, and that's the thing. Like there's ways that you create suspense and how do you do that? Like, and the, you know, they have this tried and true method that's been used for years, which is to get to the end and say, oh, but we have one more thing. Keep in mind too, like, this is me, you know, being honest, is that I work in like marketing and PR. And so, you know, while I've never scripted a press conference like that, you know, sometimes what you think about is like, how do we make this seem bigger? Like, what can we do? Where can we draw suspense? It's like playing a horror game when you like read that moment where you're like going along and it's dead silent and then they like make a sound and you're like, oh, what's about to happen? It's like, how do you create that kind of moment of suspense where somebody's waiting for the next thing?
All right, look, listeners,
skeptical.
Listeners, I hope you're loving this conversation. Let us know your opinion about this conversation because I'm curious to see because, you know, I think the majority of people that listen to the show, they don't go to E3. They're at home watching all these videos. Do you prefer just watch the trailer or do you prefer their interaction with not only with the developers but also the execs and then they'll surprise you with these trailers? Which one you prefer? Let us know.
Are you Team Danny or Team Mandy?
Yeah, are you Team Danny or Team Mandy? Let us know. Also, join Discord, Mandy, right? People should
join the Discord. We're a fun and active group. We get a little out of control sometimes, but it's all good. It is discord.gg/GTR.
Yeah, go That's right it. Now and join. Check us out. We interact a lot with our listeners. It's a lot of fun. And I love it. I love the interaction that we have with our listeners. And at the same time, we talk about not only video games, but we talk about movies, of course, games, music. When there's a deal, somebody finds out like a cheap game at Target or Walmart or a different retail store, they'll post it there on the Discord channel, right?
And we also have the tech deals.
Yeah, we even have a channel all about working out, which is cool. This one listener, I think it's, I can't remember his name.
One He's subset. All, he yeah. runs every day, like his
every
dedication.
Day.
And he shares it
Every
with us.
Day.
It's great.
And he's always posting it there in the Discord. So yeah, join our Discord channel server. Just join and talk to us. It'll be a lot of fun, man. So, all right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com. Put your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and all the podcast directories. Make sure to subscribe, post a review, share with your friends. Hey, are you listening from the phone? Text this episode to your friend. Tell them to listen. Tell them to subscribe. It will help us out. We'll climb the top of the charts, and it will help us get a lot of new listeners. So make sure to do that, all right? And also go to the store. If you want to buy some T-shirts, represent us in your local area, go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. Mandy, how people can follow you and stay in touch with you if they want?
You guys can find me on Twitter at LadyLuck34. I'm relatively active and I'm willing to argue with anyone. And I do use angry face emojis just like Paris does. And then I hang out and help on the GTR Discord. So if you're looking for a larger argument with multiple people, you can argue with me there.
Oh, there you go. There,
like, throw it out. Like, no. I mean, I feel like we argue, but we get along. So, find me on Twitter or in the GTR Discord.
That's cool. All right, Mandy, thanks a lot for joining us. And it was a lot of fun. And see, I would love to hear a battle, a great debate, Mandy versus Paris.
We will flip tables in our arguments. Like,
yes. You got to make that happen soon for sure. All right, Mandy, thanks a lot. Everybody, until next time, Miss Leo prediction, next episode, stay tuned. It's going to happen the next episode of GTR. So once the whole crew is here And I think it's going to be an interesting one. Definitely going to talk about that. Miss Liu predictions. All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.